You take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll get there before you. These are the words from an old Scottish folk tune. And like our speaker last week, I was thinking of singing them, but then I had second thoughts. It might be embarrassing. Folk song I'm referring to is called The Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, and the chorus goes like this. You'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore ye. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonnie, bonnie banks of Loch Lomond. Legend has it that these were the last words of a rebel soldier who died away from home in the uprisings of Bonnie Prince Charlie in England in 1745. And according to old Celtic legend, when a Scotsman or a Scotswoman died away from home, they'd be spirited back to Scotland via the low road. In the Celtic imagination, it was the low road that was the spiritual road, not the high road of kings and royalty, but the low road of peasants and ordinary people. Celtic spirituality is known for its earthy incarnationalism. It sees and honors the presence of God in all things, even the most ordinary and mundane. One commentator says it this way: the Celtic approach to God opens up a world in which nothing is too common to be exalted, and nothing is so exalted that it cannot be made common. The Celts believe that the presence of God infuses daily life, thus transforming it, so that at any moment, any object, any task or activity can become the site for an encounter with God. And so they had lots of prayers for everyday things, prayers for getting up in the morning, prayers for lighting the stove, prayers for getting dressed, milking the cow. Our own spiritual ancestors, the Anabaptists, were similar in some ways, less sacramental, less romantic perhaps than the Celts, but keenly fixed on Jesus and on his path, which they also understood to be a low road. They knew very deeply that Jesus did not take the high road of the kings and the mighty officials, kings and rulers. Many of our Anabaptist ancestors were peasants, cobblers, tinkers, tailors, and they understood that Jesus did not operate in the worldly ways of power, trying to ascend higher and higher. Even though he was in the form of God, he did not consider this as something to be grasped onto or exploited for his own purposes. He rather emptied himself, as Philippians tells us, taking the form and function of a slave or a servant, remaining low, very close to the people, close to the land. As Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem that day, 1 week before he died, he was riding on a small colt, not on a stallion. A very graphic, symbolic action to show the low road. It's kind of like Pope Francis arriving to the Vatican in his Fiat 500. Recently, Prince Charles commented that it's really hard to know what to get the Pope for a gift on a diplomatic visit because he gives everything away. So on his most recent visit, Charles brought him a basket of fine British tea and chocolate and said it was for the poor. It's very refreshing to see the current Pope reject all the trappings of worldly power and prestige and wealth. This was certainly the path of Jesus. And the early Anabaptists saw it and saw how it was so different from the path of the princes and the church officials of their time. They remembered how Jesus at the Last Supper, instead of being the guest of honor, took a towel, bent down, and washed his disciples' feet. And they also remembered how Peter protested. He said, "It shouldn't be this way. You know, we, the followers, we should be washing your feet. You know, you're the teacher." But Jesus said, no, this is not the way among us. This bending low, this serving, this being low, this is what it's all about. You know, this is the path of spiritual liberation. Unless you follow me in it, Jesus said, you will not know this true freedom of God. And our ancestors did follow in it, and they did know the freedom that comes from this letting go, this emptying. The low road of Jesus is quite clear from the scriptures, and we've heard a number of them this morning. Jesus identified himself with the suffering servant that Isaiah described. His early followers saw this more clearly after his death. They found it hard to understand him while they were with him. They were puzzled, like Peter was puzzled. Because Jesus' way was so counterintuitive, so different than the common path of culture. But after his death and resurrection, as they went through their scriptures, they saw him all over the place in the writings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Psalms, the psalm that was read this morning, I'm the scorn of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors. And they saw that. They remembered that in Jesus, the way he was rejected and alone as he made his way to the cross on that dark Friday, the way his friends abandoned him, the way he was mocked and derided. So when we read the scripture, it's not hard to argue that the path of Jesus, the Messiah, is one of humility and lowliness. Even the rich and the powerful can agree with that. What's so much harder is to trust that this is also the path for us, his followers. It would be nice if this could be only the path for Jesus, but not for us. And so much of Christianity and Christendom has seemed to interpret it that way, that, well, Jesus did that, but doesn't correspond to us. And we see that in the history of Christianity. But this was not the view of our ancestors, the Anabaptists. They knew, and we've also known, that Jesus is not just to be preached for what he did, but followed in life. We've always known that Jesus is looking for friends, for people to emulate him, to walk with him, to embody this way in the world. And so we have a challenge before us. How do we take this low road for ourselves in our own time? I'm not always sure I want to, because it feels a bit frightening. It's especially hard for those of us who've ascended because of our education, because of our financial ability to have power and security. So when we hear these words and contemplate them, we're immediately aware of how we have things to lose if we take this low road. And so it's not an immediately attractive message. How do we follow Jesus on this humble way? Well, we could reflect on a number of things. Our attitudes toward people, our actions at home and at work, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, who we invite into our homes to socialize with us, who we relate to on a regular basis. But the most important thing to remember as we reflect on all of this is that it's more about love than it is about moral obligation or duty. Jesus didn't come to do a difficult thing and say to us, well, now you better do this too. What he did out of love, out of willing love. He didn't say, well, now I better do this hard thing so that my Father in heaven will accept me. I better do it right. No, he knew the love of God, and he acted out of it. So that's what we're invited to connect with first as we reflect on the low road. The love that God has for us, just as we are, however we are in the moment. And it's out of the knowledge and the experience of this love that our lives naturally find their way gently more and more toward the low road of Jesus. Amen.